This is our 11 o'clock workshop, continuing our maritime folkline barrier theme. We're with three commercial fishermen from different parts of the state, and the topic of this discussion for the next 20 or 25 minutes has to do with another aspect of traditional lore that can be found just about everywhere in the world that fishermen are established. It's a very old tradition that's passed on, like many traditions are, generally by word of mouth and by observation and imitation. A great deal of knowledge, maybe most knowledge that fishermen have, is learned informally in this way, rather than formally in schools or books, things like that. Learned from other fishermen, quite often relatives, fathers, uncles, neighbors, and friends. And that information continues to be passed on over time, sometimes modified, sometimes not. Now, we'd like to talk about predicting the weather today. And as you know, I think, weather is so important in a fisherman's life for finding fish as well as for safety out on the water. And I'd like to introduce first the three men that are with me this morning. On my far right is Captain Ray Singleton. He spent most of his life in the community of Mayport, which is a small fishing community at the mouth of the St. John's River, about 20 miles east of Jacksonville. And he's retired from fishing now and retired from a family seafood business, which is known as Singleton Seafood Shack, there in Mayport. He now lives in Keystone Heights. Next to him is Costa Bougier from Apalachicola. Costa is a retired fisherman. He's fished for a lot of different species, probably landed more shrimp than anything else, but also has done some snapper and grouper fishing, some oystering, clamming, and probably a lot of other things that I don't know about right now.
Pogie fishing.
Pogie fishing, that's right. And a pogie is another name for a fish called sometimes menhaden. And sitting next to me is Tommy Knowles from Crescent City, who fishes freshwater in the inland part of the state. And maybe you didn't know, but there are a lot of commercial fishermen who live not along the coast, not along the Atlantic or the Gulf, but in the inland freshwaters of lakes like Lake Okeechobee, Crescent Lake, and also on the lower St. John's River, fishing for catfish and blue crab and eels and shad and any other species I'm forgetting here?
At certain times of year, we fish for the American shad when he makes his migratory run.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tommy, can you tell us something about learning about the weather? Now, me and maybe most of the people in the audience, I look in the newspaper and see on page 2 what the weather's going to be like, or I'm listening to the radio or the TV, and the weatherman tells me. Is that what you do?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. The Weather Channel's our best friend. What you try to do is you watch the fronts, or that's mainly what I do, is watch the fronts and get some idea how close they are. Of course, in my fishery, I'm never far enough away from the hill to be too concerned about it. When I see a thunderhead coming up, and that's my biggest fear, is the thunderstorms in the summertime. When I see one of them coming up, just keep an eye on it. Whenever it gets close enough, if it's where I can turn loose, I head for the hill. And that's the hill back at the house. That's not a hill under a tree. Let's get to the barn.
Are there any kind of signs, the clouds or the sun or the water, that help you understand what's going to happen?
I don't. That's hard to describe, David, because I don't pay that much attention to elements around me before the storm gets there. But it's always been a saying there on the lake, when the water turns black, you better hunt somewhere to go, because it's coming.
Yeah. Now, Coaster, when you were starting to fish, did you fish with your dad to begin with?
Yeah.
And did he teach you anything about the weather, what to look for?
Oh, yeah. We always looked for a front. We watched the tide and the weather glass. If the weather glass started to fall and the tide started to get high, you would get a southeaster before the front. And when it came out, it come out first, then we got the nor'wester behind it. That's what we always look for in fronts.
What's this weather glass you're talking about?
Weather barometer.
Oh, a barometer. Okay.
Yeah. Watch that. We know that it would fall for an outside wind and rise for an east wind. Or it'll fall for a fog. But you get used to watching one. The one I have belonged to my granddaddy, and I got used to watching it. I could pretty well tell how far away the front was, you know, 17, 18 hours away by watching it.
What would happen to the weather glass if the front was on its way?
You mean the front was coming?
Yeah.
It'd start to fall. Mm-hmm. You say fall, but actually it'd be rise. The hand will be rising, but you call it falling.
Did you keep the weather glass at home, or is it on your boat?
I have two of them. I have one at home, the old one belonged to my granddad's at home, over the fireplace, and I had one on the boat, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, Captain Ray, was your dad a fisherman?
Well, you've got a number of things that you can go by that right out there. See it every day, but you don't pay no attention to it.
Like what now?
Fisherman now. Well, for instance, you could be laying offshore, and it'd be a sticky, humid day just like today. And you look up in the rigging, and you see your spider webs. It looks like spider webs.
St. Elmo's fire.
Huh?
Call it St. Elmo's fire? That's what my dad called it.
Yeah. In other words, then you got just about 12 hours.
Now what do you mean, a spider web?
Do what?
A spider web. What would that be?
I don't know. I have any idea.
Looks like
where would a spider be? I mean, out that in the 50, 60 miles offshore.
This was something forming in your rigging?
You'll see it streaming from the rigging in a day that's like today.
Cotton burning.
Yeah.
And where does it come from? You didn't carry it with you.
And what would that mean?
That means you got just about 12 hours.
Or what?
To get back to a port.
Okay.
It's coming.
Now, Coaster, what were you saying about some kind of fire? What was that?
My father always called that St. Elmo's fire. And, like Captain Carl said, you see it hanging in the rigging, burning.
It's
comes
funny.
Ahead of a bad, bad storm.
That's a bad one coming.
Bad one. You don't see it very often. I think I've only saw it three or four times in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see it, like he says, you better make tracks.
Yeah, that's right.
Tommy, you ever hear about anything like that?
No, that's new to me.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. The old timers, I'm telling you, they see that. They gone. Mm-hmm. They don't mess around. Yeah.
It light up the whole boat at night, and you could pick a pin up off the deck, you know. It just,
illuminates.
It illuminates everything.
Hmm.
It'll scare you the first time you see it, I guarantee you.
Hmm. Now, here's something I wanted to ask you all about. I was down in Apalachicola back last fall, and someone was telling me, well, if you see what looks like the reflection of the sun up in the sky, looks like there are two suns almost. He called it a sun dog.
Sun dog.
What is that? What is that?
It's atmosphere conditions that the sun is shining on.
Now what?
I mean, that's what I always heard, isn't you?
Yeah.
Atmosphere conditions there, that the sun is shining, but it's not in that particular spot, but it looks like the sun. Called a sun dog.
Does that mean the weather's going to do anything?
Yeah, that's good. Now, what it means, it just means there's some weather on the way now, whether you'll get it or not, because it's a long ways from you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen that, Tommy, at all?
No, not that in particular. One of the things that that I was told, I don't know what started it, but they would predict cold weather by watching the moon and determining how many stars was in the ring around the moon. In other words, the moon would look like it had a halo all the way around it, a multicolored halo, and then however many stars was inside of that halo would be the number of days before it turned cold. And that was one of the ways they predicted the cold fronts before the Weather Channel came about.
Right?
That's right.
Right.
Most of it worked, too.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
I never did it, but I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And microbacks will tell you when it's bad weather, too, coming.
What does that mean?
What's that?
Microbacks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cloud formation. It's similar to the marks on a mackerel's back, I guess. Old timers always called it mackerel back.
How many have heard of that before? Mackerel sky, mackerel back?
Yes, ma'am. They.
Well, you got something similar to that too, and we call them hell balls.
Yeah.
A hell ball?
Hell ball. You're going to catch hell, in other words, if you stay out there, that's what you're going to do. But just before it comes, little puffs of clouds.
Yeah.
Little puffs.
Yeah.
You see little puffs of them, and it won't be long. You're going to get it, and usually it comes out of the west.
Yeah.
And it blows real hard. But that comes first.
Are there any other shapes of clouds?
Well, the weather systems is changing. It's changed during my lifetime. I remember when I was a boy that my dad would wait for a nor'wester to come out. And while the nor'wester was coming out, he'd be getting ready to go fishing. He'd be getting ice and fuel and everything getting ready to go. As soon as the nor'wester was over, he'd go fishing because you'd have 8 to 10 days of beautiful weather. Don't happen that way no more. Now when you get a nor'wester, the wind comes right around and comes out the northeast.
Yeah.
It don't stay out of the north anymore off the land. Mm-hmm. It comes out the northeast. The weather pattern is changing.
Yeah, this past year we had front behind front. Yeah. One wouldn't even get a chance to get out of the way, and there's another one right behind it. So I've seen that change, too, in recent years.
Yeah, it's happening.
Well, it used to be, too, you know, in other words, it'd go around clockwise. In other words, and if it backed up, well, it still had to go back this way before it straightened up.
Right.
Go back clockwise. It goes back counterclockwise. It's not over with yet. It's got to turn around and go all the way back around, and then it straightens up. You don't see that no more.
I was wondering if fishermen look at the behavior of fish or dolphins or birds to tell them anything about what the weather's going to do.
Birds will tell you.
Seagulls will tell you.
Yeah.
What would they be doing, Coaster?
Be flying high and circling way up high.
You see a group of them, and you don't fly. You don't see the wings move.
Just
the air pressure,
around.
The pocket they're in, and they just keep going higher and higher. You can almost just barely see them. You know some weather on the way.
Yeah.
A loon, he gets out there and he starts squawking. You've heard him.
Holler northeaster.
Yeah. Well, what we always heard him say there was, go home.
Holler northeaster.
Yeah, well, northeaster, that's go home, too.
You've heard him do that, haven't you? Holler northeaster. It's like he says northeaster.
No, yeah, he said, go home, that same thing.
Go home.
Now, what about, someone was telling me, you tell me if this is true or not, or if someone was just leading me on, that they, I think it was someone from Mayport, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't remember who it was, saying that if you caught a shrimp and the legs of that shrimp were fiery red, it meant something. Have you ever heard anything about that?
Well, they're traveling.
He's traveling.
He's traveling. Moving. He's not down on the bottom and settled down. He's moving.
He's got a suitcase packed.
And he'll also get just as clear. You can hold him up and almost read a newspaper through him there. He hasn't stopped to eat for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the move.
He's moving on when his legs are red.
That's right. And they say, I don't know if there's any truth in it, because, I mean, I don't think any of them ever tracked them down to see how many miles they moved in a day, but they said they can move up to 20 miles in a day.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I've been asking all the questions so far, and I'm sure that some of you have some questions to ask these three experienced fishermen about predicting the weather. Yes?
I have a different question. Can you smell the fish when you get near them?
What was the question?
Can you smell the fish when you get near them?
Oh, I'm a shrimper. I'm not a fisherman. But I've heard fishermen say they could smell bluefish for miles.
That gentleman we was talking about yesterday, Lynn Canova, now they say, and he said, I can smell them. And so I tell you, it's hard to say that he couldn't because he caught some fish. So what are you going to say?
So what was the secret of his success? Did he ever tell you?
Well, in those days when he fished there, well, anybody could go catch fish. You didn't have to have all the smarting equipment you got now. Go out there and start fishing. You know, if the tide moves you from here across the street, well, you're in another bite of fish. But you go out there now and you can run for days. I've ran for days and never caught a fish.
Fish is caught up.
That's right. Well, all this new modern equipment they got. Stop and think about it. It'll pinpoint you. I mean, I'm not saying that if you're right here and push that button and take that reading, and you want to go back, that's exactly where you're going to be. You're not going to be over in the street. That's how close this stuff is down now. Well, it's the same thing the airplanes use. The airplanes use the same thing to pinpoint where they're going. And, all right, I got a machine and I got a friend.
Well, how about giving me that number? All right. He's got a friend. How about giving me a number? So it ends up, everybody's got a number. Same number you got. You go back there a week later to fish this place, there's only a dozen guys fished it before you got there. So that's what happened.
Any other questions? Yes.
Yes, sir. The Japanese is ruining us.
What's that now?
The Japanese. He asked us.
He was asking if other countries are fishing in American waters. Is that right?
They're not in American waters, but they're fishing.
They're fishing all over the world. Japanese are. Japanese are one of the biggest outfits they are in the fishing industry.
The best fishermen.
They are. They're the best fishermen. Portuguese used to be, but the Japanese got them beat.
Yes, right here.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Everything is standing.
Sure.
Your hair on your head and your back and everywhere's else.
That's right.
Yeah, her question was, does the hair on your head stand up when St. Elmo's fire is going on? Okay. Other questions?
If you're not at a point where you can see St. Elmo's fire out in an open field, it'll stand up, too. It'll pull the hair up on your arm straight as a string. When that happens, you better duck. Imminent. That's right.
Another question.
What about fishing by the moon?
Fishing by the moon, okay. What does that tell you?
Believe it. Believe everything they tell you.
What do you look for? What does it tell you?
Full moon? You're not going to catch nothing.
It depends on...
I mean, there's some types of things now that full moon and bite. They're like freshwater, I don't know anything about. Don't want to learn either, and I moved down where it is freshwater, but I still don't want to learn nothing about it.
The moon is a...
I'm a saltwater man.
Certain species of shrimp that the moon acts on. Pink shrimp, you can't catch them, like Captain Carl said, but round shrimp, you slaughter them on a full moon. They run real good on a full moon. That's when the best time to work brown shrimps on a full moon.
Brown shrimp changeable, too.
Yeah,
In other words, you catch those night or day.
They change. They shed when the moon's full. And they either shed or in the process of shedding and almost can't move. They're easy to catch. So that's the best time to catch brown shrimp. And white shrimp at night catches good on a full moon. But pink shrimp, no, you can't catch one to eat on a full moon. That's always been my...
Yeah, well, another thing, you take your pink shrimp, too, there. You could go out there and drag for a week, especially down in the Gulf over here, which you don't catch them on the East Coast. You catch them over in the Gulf. But you can make a drag and have one of your biggest catches right at the hour before day.
That's the best time.
That's right. That's your best drag you're going to make during the whole night. Even though you've drugged there all night, that hour before... the sun up, you'll catch the best drag. And you put right back overboard, and you wouldn't catch that much.
Yeah.
Because where they go, they bury.
Yeah. We've got time for one more question today. Any other questions in the back here? Okay, you had your hand up again. Did you have another question?
Well, I was going to ask you, if the shrimp have these red legs, is there a pattern with that to the weather or to a migratory or to mate?
They migrate. Yeah, white shrimp, they migrate.
They travel.
Yeah, they travel, and they go south there. They hatch out in North Carolina. That's about as far north. So now, they have known to catch a few in Virginia, but very few, not commercialized on it. But North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. And another thing that they haven't found out yet, and that's how I fished all my life, and I followed them. And you can follow them as far as, we fished off of Stewart, which that hadn't been done till we got some modern equipment there to find the rocks. But you lose them, and nobody knows where they go.
Yeah.
Somebody says one time that they got a tunnel and they go up and come up somewhere else.
Okay, our time is up for this workshop, and I'd like to thank Captain Ray Singleton and Coaster Bougier and Tommy Knowles for talking with us all about a very important part of traditional knowledge, about predicting the weather. and also predicting the patterns of the movement of fish and shrimp. Can we give them a nice round of applause? Yeah. Thank you. Okay.